talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 176. I've got Will here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
Pretty good.
How have things been in your world?
Pretty good. We just, Thanksgiving break is about to start. It's a Friday.
You got one more day of school. You got school tomorrow, right?
Yeah. No, it's a Friday.
It is a Friday. For some reason, I forgot that it's a Friday. I was thinking it was a Thursday until just now.
It's a nice feeling.
I was thinking, you've got to go to school tomorrow, but you don't.
And you don't have to go to work tomorrow
So
either.
Technically, you could almost say Thanksgiving break has already started.
I got to say, the days before, like the day like right before breaks are like some of the best school days ever, honestly. Yeah. Like today, I pretty much did nothing. Like in first period in Spanish, we just played random like Kahoot and Gimkits. Oh, we played this one Kahoot that was like, our Spanish teacher just found a random Gimkit.
You might have to explain what Kahoot is because not everybody who's listening to this might know.
Okay, so Kahoot is a very intense educational game that students take very seriously. It's where like you pull out your phone and like you enter a code. All the kids enter the codes in the classroom. If they don't have a code, and sometimes like get a school iPad or Chromebook or pair up with someone, and you enter your own nickname. And then like it's like every like 5 seconds you'll be asked a question. And everyone has to answer. They get it right and they earn points. And there's like a running leaderboard.
So it's kind of like a quiz that's done through devices,
yeah,
and an app, right?
Yeah, and they added like dramatic music to it too, and like that's kind of been memed to death.
And it tracks like how people are doing, so you can see the results up on the screen.
Yeah, honestly, everyone loves it. But like, also something that's kind of frustrating at times is like if you get a certain number in a row, then like you get a slowly increasing like streak bonus, which means that if you lose, then you can drop like 5 or 10 places.
Yeah.
So if you lose and it's like doomsday, it will show like a bar graph of like which questions were answered too, because it's like you tap a shape and like on the screen it will show like what that shape means
and how many people answered which answer.
Yeah, so you can tell when like one person answered the correct one or whatever, and like whenever you answer, you'll always like have a loading sign saying like, "Were you too fast?" or like "Magic classroom powers," or stuff like that.
So I apologize, but I can't remember why we're talking about Kahoot. You mentioned you were doing Kahoot in class today.
Yes, in first period, because like all the teachers have done with their like curriculum for this like 3 week, I guess, like mid-term.
Until you get back from the break. You've got all next week off.
Yeah. And like she found like this one like random, like she just kind of selected a random one, and it was over like Disney shows where you're supposed to like guess what show it was based off of the picture. And keep in mind, this is a classroom of like mostly freshmen. I'm a sophomore, but like the entire room became this like flame war of like toxic fanboys and fangirls over different like shows and saying like, no, that show is garbage. This show is better. Or like, you're not a real fan. You don't know that show.
It's like a little microcosm of the internet.
Yeah. And I was just thinking like, I kind of thought the demographic, like the targeted demographic of the shows was like 12 and younger.
Which shows were they talking about?
I kind of feel bad for knowing them by name.
A lot of them, you don't have to feel bad.
A lot of them I didn't watch.
I just want to know the answer.
I actually did, and a lot of my friends saw Dog with a Blog in elementary school. That one was actually decent.
It was a Disney Channel show, right?
Yeah, I think one was like SpongeBob and Phineas and Ferb. SpongeBob's not a Disney show.
No, that's
like
Nickelodeon.
That. Yeah, just like all of those like teen in quotation marks, because they're actually directed towards like early middle schoolers. Shows like on Disney Channel and stuff like that, they always see promos for, and you always roll your eyes at. They're pretty much all the same.
So yeah, so you're done with school for a week. That's got to feel pretty good. Do you have any work you need to do over the break?
I don't, but I have a lot of ideas for like personal projects that I am really excited to get to, because I've had like no time to work on them during the school year.
I have one big personal project coming up this next week, and is cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Usually we have a pretty big group here for Thanksgiving. I think this year is going to be our smallest Thanksgiving ever. We've got my brother coming over and his wife, but they don't have any kids at home anymore, so it's just gonna be them, and then my sister-in-law's sister and her friend. So I think all together we're only gonna have 8 people here, which might be the smallest Thanksgiving we've ever had. I keep thinking of like, is there anyone out there that doesn't have a Thanksgiving that would like that we can invite over to join in the feast? So if you're listening to this right now and you don't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, I am officially inviting you over to our house for Thanksgiving. I'll smoke a turkey. I'll bake some rolls. I've got a lot of good food that's going to be here. You can just show up. Well, maybe email talktodad@gmail.com and let us know you're coming.
You know what? If you give us a 5-star rating, then you get to the special opportunity to eat Thanksgiving.
That would be, well, if you give us a 5-star rating, we'll let you have pie.
We'll send you a pie.
But if
you
give us a 5-star. Anyone can come, even if you don't give us a 5-star rating.
I mean, the quality of the pie may depend on how many stars are in your rating. That's all we're going
to
say.
We will try our best to make the best pie possible.
You get like a pie for every star on your rating.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Pretty excited. I think tomorrow I'll do some grocery shopping for it so we can get it all ready. I still have to work at least through Wednesday. I think I get out early on Wednesday. But
do you get Black Friday off?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have to work the day after Thanksgiving. So that'll be exciting. What else is going on? We have been watching a particular TV show.
Yes, we have. I forgot about that.
So somehow. I think last we talked about the fact on our last podcast that Disney Plus was just about to launch, or maybe that it had already launched, and that the biggest reason I wanted to get Disney Plus was to watch the TV show The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Which is the new Star Wars TV show. It's only on Disney Plus streaming show. I'm not going to give any spoilers, like plot spoilers, but we are going to talk about like the show and what it's about and characters in it. So if you don't want to know anything about it, just go ahead and flip ahead like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. So I kind of had like no expectations, like very low expectations for The Mandalorian, just because like out of all the like anthology stuff they've done, like I thought Rogue One was pretty good, but not really like Star Wars quality. And then Solo is just kind of meh, like not a waste of money, but not really worth seeing in theaters, maybe like renting. Luckily, The Mandalorian is really, really good.
It's really good. So what is it it's about? I think it's interesting to me because all of the Star Wars movies basically involve the same core characters.
Yeah.
Which are interesting, but I kind of feel like it's this huge universe, or at least galaxy. And there's a lot of other interesting characters that they could tell stories about. So this is about a story about, you know, characters that have nothing to do with the Skywalker family, at least as far as we know so far. The main character is a Mandalorian. He comes from the planet Mandalore, where apparently it's a very, I was reading about this, so I know a little bit more. Some of it they give you in this show. Some of it, I guess, is based on like not folklore, but Star Wars lore. And a lot of it's like not in the main Star Wars movies, but in like the books that were written or the comic books that were written. So Mandalore apparently is this planet that has like very warlike people. There are all these tribes that like fought amongst each other. And the one main character, the Mandalorian, he dresses in Mandalorian armor, which
so like Boba Fett.
Boba Fett has Mandalorian armor, but apparently Boba Fett is not actually a Mandalorian. He just has the Mandalorian armor. This is something I learned.
Oh, really?
And Jango Fett, which was Boba Fett's father, somehow had Mandalorian armor too, but was also not a Mandalorian.
I don't know. I think we're what you would call casual Star Wars fans.
I'm learning about those.
Like, we don't read any like comics or anything.
So the Mandalorian is, he wears this armor and he is this bounty hunter. That's like his trade. And he has a spaceship and he goes around hunting bounties and so that he can earn his living by being a bounty hunter. So the very first scene, you see him as a bounty hunter. And then he takes on this new job. And this is a little bit of a spoiler. So honestly, if you don't want to learn anything about it, he takes on a new job. Just go ahead and flip ahead. But the new job is they won't give him any information about it. And he won't know who it is until he just has a location. And he has to go to that location and find this bounty. And the bounty ends up being what everyone is calling Baby Yoda.
That's a pretty big spoiler.
It is a spoiler. But if you know anything about the show, you probably already know that. Because it's all over like the internet and Twitter.
I love Baby Yoda.
The funny thing now it's a little bit controversial because technically, it's neither a baby nor Yoda. Because this creature is 50 years old, but they make the comment like some species age slower than others.
Mm.
Yeah, they say the whatever this character, we're just going to have to call him Baby Yoda, is actually 50 years old.
Looks like
a baby. And it's not actually Yoda because this actually takes place after. So the Mandalorian is set in the period after the original trilogy. So after Return of the Jedi, before The Force Awakens, about 5 years after Return of the Jedi and about 25 years or 20 years before The Force Awakens.
I got to admit, and this is really nitpicky, but like when Empire Strikes Back, when Yoda says like, ooh, when 900 years you are, look good, you will not. That's a terrible impression. I'm sorry, yeah. But if there are any diehard fans listening, but like, I feel like that kind of implies that like Yoda used to be like completely different. And so I was a little disappointed that Baby Yoda like literally just looks like Baby Yoda.
Well,
but
it looks much younger.
Yeah.
But I guess, but like, the idea is it is whatever Yoda is. And no one really knows what Yoda's like race is.
But like,
so no one knows what to call it.
Imagine if Yoda used to be this like gigantic like space dragon or something.
Yeah. So anyway, it's really good. I like it a lot. It's very like, it's very visually, it's really well done.
Oh, like every part of the like presentation is really well done.
Yeah.
Like the visuals, the soundtrack is by the same person to the soundtrack for Black Panther.
Oh, really?
Which did not surprise me.
Yeah, the soundtrack's really good. It's funny because like when I was a kid, there was definitely always a difference between the way a TV show looked and the way a movie looked. Like movies usually looked good. TV shows always looked a little bit cheap. And you can see that even with
like the
going
Flash.
Back to like, well, even something that was like a well-made TV show, like Star Trek, The Next Generation, like, you know, it's a big budget show, but it doesn't look the same as like a sci-fi movie from that same era.
I think a lot of TV shows nowadays, like a lot of times try to look big budget, but kind of fail. Like with like The Flash, like whenever anything's CGI, it always looks like a video game suddenly.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's limitation just because of the amount of work that has to go into really good visual effects.
Yeah.
But The Mandalorian looks really good. Like everything about it looks good.
And the other thing
that's really cool about it is like, it really kind of, you don't have to be like super into Star Wars to watch it because the storyline's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But if you have seen the movies, there's a lot of stuff that it refers to. Like, there's a scene that involves Jawas. And they have like their little vehicle. I'm not even sure I'm sure there's a name for it. Like if I was a bigger Star Wars fan, I would know. But it's like the exact same vehicle that the Jawas have at the beginning of the original Star Wars movie when Luke Skywalker goes and buys the, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO from the Jawas. It's like the exact same vehicle.
Okay, you know what?
And that's just kind of cool.
You know what I really appreciate is, I'm going to try not to ramble about The Mandalorian for too long, but like, there's a character that's actually a puppet, like that isn't just fully CGI. Like they actually, he might be slightly CGI, but they actually used a puppet.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
It makes me so happy that like puppets are coming back.
Yeah, because, you know, the Jim Henson puppets, Muppets really, like Yoda is a Muppet.
Yeah, and basically. Like, he's like voiced
by who am I thinking of? The big slug guy.
Jabba the Hutt.
The original Jabba was an actual like physical. When they added him in as the special edition, they did CGI Jabba. But the original Jabba in Return of the Jedi is, you know, a physical creation. It's really a big, huge puppet.
Yeah, and like full
CGI. So it's
CGI,
cool to see him doing those practical effects.
And like full CGI characters can be cool if they're done right.
Yeah. Well, they're getting much better at it. I think over the last 20 years, I've gotten CGI really, really well perfected.
Yeah, like Thanos is like kind of beautiful. But
yeah, but it's cool to have practical effects in there too, especially in a Star Wars world, because everything in Star Wars is like a little bit dirty, a little bit dingy.
And everything in Star Wars is supposed to be like goofy and weird.
Yeah.
And like, I really like that stuff.
The action sequences are really good. There's like just enough humor to like keep it going, but not so much that, you know, it feels like silly.
Honestly, pretty much every aspect like of like filmmaking is done really well in The Mandalorian so far. Like, I know I probably sound like a biased fanboy when I say that, but like, I'm just so happy to have like a, like, really, like, truly great anthology thing going.
I don't know how many episodes The Mandalorian is going to be, at least in the, whatever, the first season or whatever they're calling it. We should say we've only seen the first two episodes. The third episode came out today.
Ooh.
I don't know if you knew that.
We need to see that after the podcast.
We probably need to see it. It's really good, though. I recommend it. I don't know, like, Disney Plus, a lot of people have had complaints about, like, the technical aspects of it, that some people, it's not working really well for some people. It's worked pretty well for us, actually. Like, the first episode streamed perfectly. The second episode, it kind of hung up in the middle and did a little bit of a buffering. Mm-hmm. But then it caught up. So we haven't had too many problems with the technical aspects.
I do really like
Disney Plus.
Last little side note. I feel like a lot of it feels like, it feels like an older movie, kind of, in some ways. Kind of like some of the, like, original Star Wars, like, 70s movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it kind
of,
like...
Like, a lot of the cinematography is similar cinematography to the original trilogy.
Yeah, and that stuff's really charming to me.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you know, you've noticed this, but, like, when you watch the original, the first three movies, especially, but kind of all the Star Wars movies, George Lucas uses a lot of wipes.
Yeah, they have, like, the Windows Movie Maker transitions.
Like, it'll either wipe from one side to the other, or it'll, like, wipe as a, you know, a circle that gets bigger.
Yeah.
They use those in The Mandalorians, I noticed.
Yeah, I think they've been using them in pretty much all the Star Wars movies, actually.
Yeah, there weren't as many in the newest trilogy. There aren't as many. It's not as obvious. They still use them, but it's not quite as many.
Yeah.
Like, in The Last Jedi, I think it had the fewest wipes.
I would love The Last Jedi, but it doesn't have enough cross-dissolves, so
yeah.
Pretty much the worst Star Wars movie yet.
Yeah, we've got... So, The Mandalorian definitely will hold us over until the new Star Wars movie. I'm trying to remember what it's called. What is it called?
Jedi Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of the Skywalker. That's what it's called. Pretty cool. I like it. Other things that have been going on. You finally completed, I don't know if we've talked about yours on the podcast. We talked about Henry's scavenger hunt. I don't know if we've talked about your scavenger hunt. So when your sister left, she came home from college. She spent a little bit of time at home, and then she left to be a full-time missionary in Southern California, which is where she is now, which is why, if you're wondering why Phoebe hasn't been on the podcast for a long time, it's because she is currently serving as a full-time missionary in California. Right now she's in San Clemente, California. But when she left a birthday present for you and a birthday present for your brother. Your brother's birthday was in July. Your birthday was November 7th. And the birthday present involved a massive scavenger hunt that she had created and set up all the clues before she left.
There were 15 clues per one.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
There were 15 clues, and like, it started with an envelope. There were a lot of clues that I got stuck on, but kind of in a fun way. It started with an envelope, and like, it had like instructions, kind of like Henry's, that said like, there's a UV pen in here for invisible ink parts, which only happened like once or twice. But when it started with like a little note that said like, that the first clue was like a monster hiding underneath the bed, but it was invisible, and needed some encouragement to stay visible, and like, if we like made him visible, then he'd give us next clue. So me and Henry searched all under our bed with a UV pen, and we couldn't find it for a long time. And then I finally found it with a UV pen, and I was like, Henry, it's here. And he's like, yeah, right. I'm not falling for that again. But it was like a drawing of like a Domacoon plushie, which went to the game room. We like found the Domacoon plushie. We like opened it, and like inside of that was another clue saying that like, okay, it's already slightly torn, so please don't get mad at me for putting a clue in here. A few clues later, there was this one where like we had to find like all the different like pieces to a treasure map inside different Kirby games. And we put it all together, and it was like this
map.
Did
you ever find all the pieces? I know you found most of them. You did?
We did. We had to like, some of them were like behind discs and stuff. We found this map too that had like an X on the spot. That had like an X that marked the spot with a drawing of Maisie, of course. Because Maisie is the person that Phoebe misses the most, as she stated before. So we went outside into the backyard, found exactly where the X was, and like I got out a big shovel from the garage and started like digging around.
Careful digging in the yard, because there's electricity under the ground and stuff.
It was a little bit scary, but I kind of felt like Jim Hopper from season 2 of Stranger Things.
Hopefully, you didn't. Did you dig a big hole?
Not And not really a hole, but like it was just in the area that was like just dirt and not really any grass, like by the ventilation.
Okay, hopefully and, like, you didn't dig a lot of big hole.
Henry's kind of freaking out. Whenever I hit something, Henry is like, no, it's just tubes. And then Henry's about to go inside and check the actual map for the millionth time. And then I actually hit like a capsule and I was like, Henry, I hit something. And he was like, yeah, right. And then he went over there. He's like, I don't think that's. And I kept on digging. He's like, oh yeah, that's a capsule. Open it up, brought it inside, wash it off. Inside it was a few other clues. Fast forward to the final clue we figured out was like by deciphering Phoebe's cursive was inside. Phoebe has like these mannequin heads in her closet, which I want to give the context for that, but I don't know. But inside one of them, like I said, hint, it's not brain
styrofoam
surgery.
Styrofoam heads from like, they're not really mannequin, but like these styrofoam heads. Like that you might use to put a wig on or a hat on or something.
Yeah. And it's like one of them like was taped, so we knew there was a clue in there. We like videotaped ourselves cutting it open, and inside was a bag of Jelly Bellies, which are my favorite candy.
Which was your present. But yeah. Really, the present was the scavenger hunt itself.
The clues we found along the way.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect it to be a big present, but like, because I mean, like that would have taken her
present.
Like a...
You like that present, but yeah, I really think... Like, she spent way more time, like, building this and putting into it.
Yeah.
I think the present was really the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, so I can't get mad if, like, she doesn't get me, like, an Xbox or anything. Because, like, she put, like, a freaking insane amount of time into the entire treasure hunt.
Not that you would, anyway. I mean, she can get you whatever she wants for your birthday. I don't think you can be mad about it. But that was a really cool present for her to put that much time into it.
It was.
And set it all up, like, months before your birthday.
She said that, like, she wanted to do it for every member of the family, but she ran out of time.
Yeah.
But I think she said, like, in the letter, like, and this is kind of low-key a waste of time anyways, so... But I will admit, like, it was a lot of fun. There were certain moments where, like, all the, like, wild goose chasing was starting to kind of wear me out a bit, but it never stopped being fun.
Yeah, there was one point where one of the clues got destroyed, and so you had to, like, wait until you could get a hold of Phoebe...
And then Phoebe just, like, mailed us, like,
a
what
new
it said.
Clue, yeah.
It's like we had to, like, we found, like, this makeup thing that said, like, crush me, and then parentheses carefully. And we kept on doing it, and, like, we're pretty sure it either went down the drain, or I think Phoebe actually said on one of the Skype calls that it was written in permanent marker. Oh, Henry has something to add.
Okay, so there's, like, a metal thing at the bottom, and it was, like... A note written in permanent marker, and we did not wash it down
it was
the
like,
drain.
It was like a compact case for makeup. So there's makeup at the bottom, and then like apparently it was written on the back of the case.
But I guess
it got washed away because like
we ran it through water, so it would
no, that's not why. It would have survived that definitely. But like the way she like took out the makeup and then put it back in is because like she broke it all up and like got it all out, and then she put it back in and then like made it like come back together again with rubbing alcohol, and the rubbing alcohol wore away the marker.
Yeah, something about the way she created it didn't survive the process.
Okay, bye.
We'll see Henry again later in the podcast, but
Henry made a special cameo appearance.
Yes. So pretty cool. Pretty cool that you did a scavenger hunt. That was a fun thing for you and your brother to do. Another fun thing that you've been doing lately is you've been composing music on the computer.
Yes, I have. I've been making electronic music kind of like occasionally on and off like throughout the past couple of years, mainly because like I don't know, I kind of work in other stuff and haven't really had that much time, but right now I'm considering maybe like eventually like combining all the tracks and releasing them as like an album on like a SoundCloud account maybe. It's just something I'm kind of playing around with. The weird thing is about composing music and with like a lot of creative projects is that like anything you're working on, you can go like a month procrastinating and not get anything done. And then you can get like so much of it done within like 2 hours if you're just in the mood for it.
So how do you compose electronic music? I mean, you play the piano and you play the viola. Those are your two instruments, right? And you do choir. But how do you do electronic music?
It's just all on the computer. I actually do have a like Launchpad Mini with a keyboard on it, but I don't use it that much. I use Soundation, which is kind of an obscure program. Technically not the most professional program, but it has everything I need. my friend is actually really, really good at composing electronic music and actually like composed some music for some games that I was working on, never finished.
So let's play a little bit of the song that you are working on right now. I think you've got like the first minute of it done.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. It does. I like that it is, this is something that we can share with the podcast because it's completely audio.
It does kind of build, so...
is a club banger.
It sounds like a garage band song at first.
It sounds different with headphones. I just listened to it on the computer before.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so that's, I like it though. It's really good. I like the way it builds. So you have like different tracks that you align, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Kind of a cool thing to be spending your time on. Maybe you'll get to a little more time. You know, it's kind of hard during school because you have to do all your homework first.
Now that I make electronic music, I am now officially like the most stereotypical teenager ever.
Is that a stereotypical teenager thing?
Yeah, the teenagers make EDM.
That's a new thing. That wasn't a stereotypical thing when I was a kid.
That's why people are saying that, like, skateboard writing Andrew Garfield Spider-Man should start, like, writing EDM. So that way we'll have, like, all the stereotypes checked off.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
We got a news story here. Do you know who Greta Thunberg is?
No, it sounds familiar.
She is a young girl who has become kind of like a big activist in the world of like climate change. So I think she's from, where is she from? Let me get some information on her so that I'm not giving any false information about her. But she's really well known as an activist in climate change. She's from somewhere, I want to say she's from Sweden. Yes, she's Swedish. And she's 16 years old, but she will travel around and kind of like appear at climate conferences and really argues passionately about, you know, people fixing the environment so that the world isn't destroyed.
That's good.
She's a very inspiring person, but there are some people on the internet who have discovered a picture from the 19th century that looks like her. And so now there's a theory out there that she is a time traveler.
This happens like every day now.
They are saying that Greta Thunberg is a time traveler because there's an old black and white picture from the Yukon Territory of some people who are mining for gold.
People say that Nicolas Cage is a time traveler too.
And it looks like Greta Thunberg. Let me show you these pictures. Maybe I will post these pictures on our social media so people who are listening can see as well. Here is an actual picture of Greta Thunberg, like a black and white picture that she, I think she tweeted it out or something she sent to her followers. That's what she looks like. Here is the picture.
Is she like a young adult?
Yeah, she's 12 years old.
She's
16 years old?
I thought she was like a senator or
something.
What
did I just say she was? No. She's young. She's a kid. She is 16 years old.
Okay. So like my age.
She is your age. And that's one of the things I think a lot of people find inspiring about her is she's doing so much at such a young age. But that's what she looks like, 16-year-old Greta Thunberg.
Okay.
Here is a picture that people discovered that say that they're trying to convince people that she's a time traveler.
There is so much confirmation bias on the internet. I mean...
It does look a lot like her.
It does look a lot like her. It doesn't look I don't think that single picture is quite enough to, I don't know.
Obviously not. But look at these pictures side by side, though. It looks remarkably like her.
I mean, those
I think all
angles.
It proves it is that there's someone like else her, in history that looks like her. It I obviously think... does not prove time travel. So people who dug up this picture, apparently it came from the University of Washington Library's digital archives, and it shows three children from 1898 who are mining for gold in the Yukon Territory in Canada. And one of the children looks like Greta Thunberg. She hasn't responded. She apparently, when this hit the internet, was sailing on a zero emissions yacht to Portugal for a climate change conference. It's kind of funny. I think it's interesting to think about, like, one of the big reasons why time travel is unlikely is we don't have any time travelers among us that we know about.
Well, there are, like, obviously I don't really believe any of these. Like, I kind of want to believe them, but, like, there's certain old films where, like, someone is talking into, like, some sort of handheld device. Mm-hmm. Or, like, there's, like, one person in a crowd who's wearing kind of, like, a t-shirt or whatever.
Different looking clothing.
Yeah.
There and are like, people on the internet that will try to convince, but the evidence so is usually pretty thin and hard to substantiate. There have been people who have claimed to be time travelers, but they can't come up with really good evidence.
Yeah, there is a video on, and I recommend checking us out. There's a video, it was like a three-part series about like if Time Lords could really exist. It's by Film Theory, and part three is about like supposedly like all these different allegations throughout history that like mention this one like historical kind of obscure person who like, there he wrote like a book in the 15th century about like experimenting with like everlasting life or something like that.
Yeah,
it's I know it isn't true, but it is kind of interesting. I recommend
Leonardo da Vinci had a lot of interesting thoughts that have like a lot of his, you know, speculation have actually been invented.
Yeah,
you could say he was the inventor, but he didn't actually invent it. I guess he was like the person who conceived of it, and then other people invented it.
Yeah, there's this one like
helicopters and things like that.
I saw this one video by a channel who does kind of like stories that happen on the internet and like all these crazy things that happen about like what some people think might have been like the internet's first ARG about like this one person. I think his name is John Teeter in like 1999 to the late 2000s. Who like in 1999 made some post saying that he had traveled in time and showed a whole bunch of pictures of his time machine. And then like a year later went on a radio station and talked about it. And he actually predicted that there would be this one glitch in like this one system when he released the company, and that actually happened. But he also predicted that like by now there would be like three different world wars and stuff.
Yeah, it's always interesting that like if you can take like ancient predictions and you can show how like past events line up with it, but yeah. Anytime you try to predict what happens like into the future, that's where it always goes wrong. So like people who talk about like Nostradamus and they're like, oh, all these things in history line up with what Nostradamus said. But anything in the future, it's just harder to, because it's easy to take a set of facts and have them match up with something that already exists.
Yeah. Well, the problem
is
like,
it's hard to push that into the future. And
yeah, the problem is like, again, confirmation bias, like people are going to focus on the stuff that did happen and not the stuff that didn't happen.
Right.
There could be some, like, ancient, like, prophecy of, like, a god that would cause there to be all these storms in 2017. It would also predict that the entire world would be eaten by a giant walrus in 2015.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that.
Let's talk about your news story, because I think it's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. hotel room costs $1, but it's live-streamed at all times.
Yes. A hotel in Japan, right?
Yes. It says a Japanese hotel offers a room that costs only $1 for a night, but as a catch, the guest's entire stay is live streamed on YouTube.
So you can stay there for only a dollar, only if you agree to have your entire visit streamed on YouTube.
That's...
This is almost like a would you rather, like half of a would you rather question, you know?
I'm disappointed in this generation.
Like, would you... And I think that's what's interesting about the story. Would you do this?
It says, this is a very old ryokan, and I was looking into a new business model. Not going to pronounce that name, told CNN.
Let me see. I will pronounce it for you. Tetsuya Inoue.
All right. That told CNN. Our hotel is on the cheaper side, so we needed some added value. Something special that everyone will talk about. Just pay normal price for a normal hotel.
It's an interesting concept.
Like, I think if I were them, I would, like, bump it up to $5 just because I can, but it says, this person said number 8 is equipped with cameras that are always live streaming on his YouTube channel, $1 Hotel. He said the feed is video only and the cameras are pointed away from the bathroom area to give the guests some privacy.
So at least they're not cameras in the bathroom, thank goodness.
It sounds like they
promised. But there are cameras in other places.
It sounds like they promised to a really good Twilight Zone episode.
It also seems like, you know, a reality TV thing.
Yeah. It says young people nowadays don't care much about the privacy. Some of them think it's okay to be watched for just one day. It's not. It's creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah, would you not do it for sure?
I mean, maybe like a blatant self-promotion. Like I was just like, I had like subscribed to Willow Polo's just written on my forehead.
That's the thing is if this became popular, I think people might actually pay to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They're getting an audience and people like an audience.
It's like that one YouTuber that's always like making videos and like donating $10,000 to people or doing crazy things with his money. Mm-hmm. And he had to say in his like about page that he would instantly block anyone who emails him asking for money.
So what about if I think the reason I don't think I probably would not do it, but the only reason I'd be tempted is, you know, going into it, what the deal is. So obviously, you know, you're not going to like, you know, you're not going to like sit there and pick your nose or whatever. You know, you're on camera, you know, you're on camera. So, but at the same time, you're also getting a hotel room for $1.
It's like, I've considered how like, there's just so much pressure.
Maybe you would like try to entertain people.
I've considered how, what if I saw this one celebrity on the streets? Would I take a video with them and then like upload it to the internet? And what if it's this one person who like no one has ever done a video like that before? Because then I stress out about how, like, what if no one ever actually sees it? Or what if everyone calls it fake? Or there's just so many like ways it could go wrong.
Maybe what we would do is we would get the hotel room and then we would do the podcast from the hotel room, knowing that we would have an audience. It's probably bigger than our normal podcast audience. We could just do a podcast from the hotel room and it would get views.
Yeah. I mean,
we could use it for promotion and it only costs $1.
I mean, we're not saying that we don't already love our audience. We love both of you guys.
Yeah. Well, one person more than the other. I won't say which. But yes. And then I've got one last story here. This is a story from the world of science. There was a new study that came out about two of Neptune's moons. Did you know that Neptune has outer moons and inner moons? Did you know this?
I didn't, and I feel bad for not knowing it.
I didn't know this either. Apparently, Neptune has about 14 moons, I think it says in this article.
I think Jupiter has 62.
Neptune is a gas giant distant from the sun in the outer solar system and has 14 moons. It's got moons that are outer moons and that kind of orbit within. Neptune also has rings too. We don't think about Neptune as having rings, but apparently it does.
All the gas giants do.
They just aren't as dramatic as Saturn's rings.
Yeah.
Some of the moons are like in the outer part of the rings. But then there are others that they say, and those, the bigger ones that are part of the rings are probably the same age as Neptune because they were formed at the same time Neptune was formed. But then there are smaller ones that orbit on an inner trajectory that probably were not created at the same time as Neptune. They're younger and they were just captured inside Neptune's orbit. So they were just wandering hunks of space rock, I guess, that got captured in Neptune's orbit. And two of those are the moons Naiad and Thalassa. Naiad and Thalassa orbit together, but they are both tiny tic-tac-shaped moons around Neptune. They're only about 1,150 miles apart, and one of them is slightly tilted. One of the orbit is slightly tilted, and every once in a while, they almost collide, But one of the moons has this weird orbit where it goes up, up, down, down, and dodges the other moon.
It's so weird. Fascinating, but like...
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. They say that it's the first time they've ever observed this type of an orbit before. They do this strange dance around each other so that they don't collide.
What if it's just a giant, like, extraterrestrial life? I mean, I know it isn't, but, like...
Yeah.
I like to think it is.
That would be kind of cool. They're only about 60 miles long each. NIAID does its orbit around Neptune every 7 hours. And Thalassa does it every 7.5 hours. That's crazy. Every once in a while, they almost collide. But Thalassa, the slower moving partner, does this dance around the other one so that they won't collide.
It would be weird if, like, there's some, like, planet X that was causing this, like, second gravitational pull.
Yeah. They do say that there's a Planet X out. Have you read about Planet X?
I haven't. I didn't know it was real.
I've been tempted to do a Planet X story because it shows up a lot in the news, but I haven't talked about this before. So we don't know if it's real or not. That's the problem, is that you can't get a really good news story about it because it's very controversial. Some astronomers, there's one astronomer in particular who says Planet X is absolutely real. It's, you know, and I can predict it. But a bunch of other astronomers say, well, if it's real, how come you can't find it? Because no one's ever found it with a telescope yet. It's supposed to be distant in the solar system. There's some weird stuff that goes on with some of the objects in the solar system when you get really far from the sun. And one of the explanations is, well, if you have a Planet X, it would explain some of these weird phenomenon. But those who doubt the existence of Planet X are like, one, we've never seen it, and two, that's not the only explanation for the weirdness. Maybe it's just because you've got all these strange objects and they have odd orbits.
I mean, maybe the real Planet X was a friend that we made along the way.
Exactly. So that is our news. Let's do a segment that we haven't done. I think we've done it, well, we have done it recently, but let's do it again.
We haven't done it successfully yet.
We're getting better each time we do it. Let's do one word story.
One word story.
We really need a new drop.
Oh, by the way, I'm back.
What if our new drop was like each one of us saying one word story, one for like word by word?
Henry is back, so we can do one word story with Henry.
One
word
story.
All right, that'll be our new drop.
All right.
And we'll edit that in, and the next time we do this segment, we will use that drop. All right, so one word story, the way this works is we tell a story one word at a time, going around in a circle, and the way we play it is we use a random list of words. Let's do three words each. So I've got a random word generator up. So we need 9 words total. William, your words are suitcase, ignorant, and occasion.
Suitcase, ignorant, and occasion.
My words are apparatus, rally, and scenario. And Henry, your words are presidential, falsify, and iron. I gotta write my words down here. Apparatus, rally, and scenario. All right, so we will try our best to do a story that is somewhat comprehensible. I think the key to doing one word story is to not try and do crazy things. Try and do the thing that makes the most sense, at least to you, and hope that other people, it makes sense to other people as well. It also helps if you have like a main character, a beginning, a middle, and an end. Let's try it out. Let's see how this works. All right. I will start. Once
there
was
a
president.
This
president
was
ignorant. That's one of my words.
Of
the
law.
The
president
once
decided
to
destroy
every
law
that
he
knew.
He
built
a
new
apparatus
out
of
a
iron, like an iron.
And
the
apparatus
was
very
powerful.
Was
the
sound
that
the
apparatus
made.
The
apparatus
was
designed
by
an
engineer,
because
the
president
didn't
know
that
you
couldn't
falsify
your
laws
by
creating
an
apparatus.
Dang it,
said
the
president.
One
morning,
he
decided
to
quit
the
presidential
office
so
he
could
rally
against
laws.
This
rally
wasn't
very
exciting.
There
were
no
people
at
the
rally.
Well,
I
guess
this
didn't
really
work
at
this
scenario.
Then
he
decided
to
create
a
vacation
that
would
create
relaxation
for
himself.
I
am
very
excited
for
this
vacation
period. He
couldn't
seem
to
think
of
the
best
way
to
think
up
the
best
way
to
pack
his
entire
suitcase. It's a word.
So
he
decided
that
he
just
wanted
to
sleep
on
this
occasion. That's my last word.
So
he
slept
in
his
bed,
in
his
big
mansion.
The
end.
Yeah, we did it.
How did I not see that coming?
All right.
I mean, okay. Well, we're keeping at it.
Wasn't one quite day as we'll terrible. Be good at
one world word story. Unfortunately, it's not today, but we're getting better.
Yeah.
We're getting better at it.
I hit all of my words like immediately.
We're almost getting there.
Yeah, those were pretty good words for our story. Doesn't say much for the office of the president, but this is a fictional president.
We don't mean to get political. Yeah, the president who made an apparatus out of an iron, except that it was actually made by an engineer.
Any resemblance to any real characters is purely coincidental.
Purely coincidental.
Yeah, I'm not sure if any presidents have invented any apparatuses or anything, so.
As far as we know.
It's debatable. All
right, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Okay, for treat yourself today, I was in a gas station convenience store. It was kind of a strange gas station convenience store that I don't usually visit. And I noticed that they had strange flavors of Frito-Lay snacks. These are Mexican flavor of Frito-Lays that I've never seen before, that I've only seen in this one particular gas station. There is lemon and salt Fritos. or limon, which I guess is lime. Lime and salt. Limoni sal. Lime and salt Fritos. There is chorizo y chipotle. So chorizo and chipotle pepper Fritos. And there is queso flavored Ruffles, which I guess is like cheese flavored Ruffles, but aren't Mexican Ruffles already? Cheese flavored.
No, wait, they aren't cheese. I keep on forgetting that.
There might be cheese flavored Ruffles. Is it Ruffles? I guess it's Ruffles. Yeah. So we've got queso flavored Ruffles. We've got chorizo and chipotle Fritos, and we've got lime and salt Fritos. Never tried any one of these before. They sound pretty good to me.
Lime and salt sounds good.
Sometimes pretty stuff promising. Sounds good to me on Treat Yourself and it ends up being terrible. Sometimes it sounds bad and ends up being good. So
honestly, I feel like I have slightly lower expectations for the chipotle one than the lime salt one because like Fritos are good because of its simplicity, really.
I'm glad these aren't any weird obscure knockoff brands because those tend to be a bit more sketchy than like actual like well-known brands.
This is an actual brand. Slightly better success rate. Actual, I think these are like flavors they have in Mexico, but it's actually made by Frito-Lay. So, you know, that could be good. Let's start with the queso-flavored Ruffles. Cheese-flavored Ruffles. All right, I'm going to pass around a couple to everybody. And I will mute the mics so we're not crunching Ruffles into the mics. What'd you think of the queso-flavored Ruffles?
That is really good.
Honestly, they didn't false advertise. It is cheese flavored with a hint of lime.
Yeah, it's got like a little bit of lime. I don't think it actually says on the package here, but they do seem to have a little bit of lime. It's the lime and salt is a Frito flavor. This just says cheese flavored, but it tastes like cheese with a little bit of lime, like a little bit of, I don't know, lime-ness, citrus, maybe. What do we think? What would you rate it?
Oh, that's a delicious. I would buy a bag of those, like yum, if ever stopped yum. On trip.
Delicioso.
I don't disagree with that. I think those are delicious. Which one should we try next? The chorizo and chipotle, or the lime and salt?
Lime and salt because it's not going to stick in our mouth as long.
Yeah, let's start. I agree with that. Let's start with the lime and salt first.
I have to say, they taste a lot like the lime tortilla chips at Chipotle. It's but really better, good. Actually.
They kind of have like a more like mellow and like subdued taste, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. They're really good. They do remind me of like going to a Mexican restaurant.
Yum 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 yum, delicioso.
Yeah.
I also think they're delicious. They're pretty good. I don't know if I like them better than regular Fritos. Yeah. I'm kind of a Frito fan.
Yeah, I think all of them.
They're pretty good though. They have a real subtle flavor. I mean, they taste very limey, but other than that, they just kind of taste like corn and salt.
This is gonna sound a little weird, but like I feel like the best types of snacks are ones like when you eat it, it reminds you of a certain experience. Especially like when you eat it, like it reminds you of like a certain restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like those almond candies that we had a few episodes ago.
All right, the last one is chorizo and chipotle.
All right.
Chorizo y chipotle.
Pretty excited for this one.
Okay, these are really strange.
I can't decide whether it tastes like really gross or really good. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe.
I'm having a hard time, too. It's really strange tasting.
Yeah. In my opinion, I'm just going to give it like a high meh. Like
meh. M-E-H. Meh.
Like, I had one since we all got two. I had one, I chewed and swallowed it, and then I threw the other one away. It's just, no, just don't.
I think I'm there with you. I don't know. Like,
it just kind of tires me out, honestly.
I guess.
The chorizo flavor is really strange. I'm not sure I like it either. I'd probably give it a meh.
That's like a borderline, like anyone could even know that.
I feel like maybe if I kept eating it, I might come up with a better opinion of it. It's really strange for me not to know if I like it or not.
Like, anyone can even know that.
I love that movie.
I don't know. Like, I don't think I like it. I don't think I would choose to eat this. So, on that basis, I would say meh.
I feel like I can't really overreact to it.
I don't feel like it's gross.
It. Yeah, I mean, it. I give it like a mid-delicious because it's just like, it tastes a little bit burnt and it's less bad.
You went over and threw away the other one that you were given.
Yeah, I know. It's just less bad and more just tiring, if that makes any sense.
So we had two that we liked, the queso-flavored Ruffles and the limon y sal, or the lime and salt Fritos. The chorizo and chipotle Fritos, though, no one really likes them all that much.
But we don't hate them either.
I predict the mom will hate these.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's what I was thinking. I feel like
it's for a certain kind of person.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe some people like a really meaty flavored chip.
I think some people would like them. I think they're worth trying, maybe. I think mom might hate the Ruffles.
I feel like this is going to sound really, really weird. I think she'll
like the
Ruffles.
And I think she'll like the lime and salt flavored Fritos. I don't think she'll like the chorizo flavored
Fritos. Yeah, she'll spit that out.
Okay, this is going to sound like super, super weird. But I feel like the kind of person to like those kinds of Fritos would also be the kind of person to enjoy spending thousands of dollars on shoes. Or spending like a lot of money on expensive. Yeah, I know it sounds weird, but I don't know.
So, like, if you have very particular tastes, you might like this. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay. That is Treat Yourself, and that's our podcast. Thanks, Henry, for joining us for Treat Yourself and for One Word Story.
Thank you.
Thanks, Will, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. And if you go to talktodadpodcast.com, you can download and stream all of our episodes directly from the website. If you like the show, there's a couple of things we ask, and you want to help us out, there's a couple of things you can do. You can tell a friend, and you can also leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. That might get the word out so that other people can find the podcast as well. So we would appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time.